Welcome to Breaking Free Authentically, the podcast where we explore what redefining relationships looks like through a sex-positive lens. Let's kick shame and guilt to the curb and really start living a sexy, authentic life. I'm passionate about normalizing out-of-the-box ways of designing relationships. There's nothing quite like finding your tribe and experiencing the freedom of being completely yourself without judgment. I'm your host, Corinne Bedard, your sex-positive relationship designer, and I'm here to guide you in creating the relationship you desire, whether that is a more open one or simply a more empowered one. Join me every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to enjoy the newest episode. Well, welcome back to Breaking Free Authentically. Today, my guest is Carrie Jarislow. She is a best-selling author and relationship diversity advocate, which is actually a lot like what I do. She calls it relationship diversity. I call it relationship designing. She uses the word design as well. I love it. We have the same mission. She's passionate about bringing intentionality into intimate relationships by releasing the programming of what we're taught relationships should be and shifting to what we really want them to be. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, very familiar. Her podcast, Relationship Diversity Podcast, aims to explore, question, and celebrate all aspects of relationship structure diversity. Sounds so familiar. I love it. This is an inclusive space, giving people the permission to design their unique relationships from the knowledge and acceptance of their unique selves. She has been seen on NBC, PBC, The CW, featured in Winston-Salem Journal, Prevention, and Newsweek, and has been interviewed by Marianne Williamson, Go All In TV, The List TV, and many others to share her message, as well as her first book, Why Do They Always Break Up With Me? So, welcome to my guest, Carrie. I'm so excited that she was willing totally last minute to come on the podcast, but what a gift and what a conversation we had. We hit it off right away, like we're old friends. So that was really fun. And we start off the podcast with talking about energy care and how to protect our energy and how to manage our energy and preserve it in the context of conformity, like what we're asked of in our society. We talk about people pleasing. We talk about what is the cost of conformity? Like, is there an actual cost to conforming? Because really, conforming doesn't seem like it's all that bad, right? Like, we're just following the law, following the rules. What's wrong with that? But there is a definite cost to us if we are doing something that is not aligned with who we are, if we're forcing ourselves to be someone that we're not, if we're denying ourselves basic human rights for the sake of others. So I think that it's such an important discussion to have. And in this conversation, we really get to this sort of unveiling of conformity and what the cost is of that and how it can affect us if we're not careful, and the need to break free from conformity, really. And so I do talk a little bit about my program because it totally fits in with what we're talking about. So if you come to the end of this podcast and you realize, oh my gosh, I am conforming in so many ways that I didn't realize, and it's taking a toll on my life, and I am struggling with things like depression, or I don't know who I am anymore. I've been a parent or been married for most of my adult life, and I don't have an identity outside of that. This is what conforming can do for us. It can keep us from really getting to know ourselves. We start to deny ourselves, and we start to forget who we are at our core, And that is really sad. But this is a norm in our society. And so we wonder why there's like midlife crisis is happening all around. This is an epidemic. At some point, it catches up to us if we are simply people pleasing, if we're depleting our energy all the time for others, if we are conforming to the system and it's not the right system for us. We get to change things. We get to diversify. We get to design our own unique lives, our own unique relationships with ourselves and with others. It's a beautiful thing. So I'm going to leave that with you. Join us for this conversation where we dive a lot deeper into this. I cannot wait. Come and join us. We'll see you in a couple minutes. Do you feel like you've been sold a fairy tale when it comes to sex and love? Why isn't it working? Why am I not fulfilled or satisfied? Why do I have a deep longing for more? Maybe you've had some of these thoughts. Did you know it's not your fault? That's right. You've been brainwashed since childhood with disempowering beliefs about sex and relationships. This is known as the mono mindset. If you're tired of feeling stuck, you're ready for Breaking Free from Conformity, the 8-week program where you will learn how the mono mindset has set you up for failure in relationships, why you think of sex as wrong or taboo, why you judge yourself. You will finally learn how to have empowered relationships with confidence and success. Many of my clients have said, "Kareen, I didn't know I had choices. I thought I needed a partner to feel complete. I thought I was supposed to suppress my desires to have a successful relationship." Well, what if you could learn to love yourself and your desires without guilt? Well, you can. With Breaking Free from Conformity, the 8-week program, shifting the subconscious programming that is keeping you stuck. It's not your fault. You weren't given a choice. It's time to break free and start living your life. To register, go to offers.kareenbedard.com/BFFC for Breaking Free from Conformity. I can't wait for you to find ultimate freedom and create an empowered relationship for yourself. Please visit our website at www.breakingfreeauthentically.com and subscribe to our mailing list so you never miss an episode. Be sure to leave a review on Podchaser by clicking the link at the top of the page. That would mean the world to me. Finally, I'd love for you to join Breaking Free Authentically, our private sex-positive relationship community on Facebook. All the links will be posted in the show notes. Enjoy the show. Well, welcome back to Breaking Free Authentically. This is episode 74, and I can't believe how fast the time is going. But today, my guest is Carrie Jarislow, and I am so excited to have her here. I actually just met her yesterday, which is so amazing. She has the Relationship Diversity Podcast. We are definitely going to be in each other's worlds. Like, it has been such a fun conversation. I should have been recording the past hour because we haven't
stopped. It was pretty instant, right?
Yeah, it was like, boom, we just, yeah. But that's how my world works. Like, I just, it is like that. So welcome, Carrie. Thank you so much for being here. And thank you for being willing to come on totally last minute. I love you for that. You're like one of me. You just kind of flow.
Absolutely. I love flow, and thank you for having me on. And I don't know, it's like total synchronicity, right? That I happen to have this morning open, and we just jumped on, which is what I love about the world. You know, it feeds me that connection.
Yeah, me too. And I think a lot of people don't understand that, but I learned, like, one of the big things that caused the biggest shift in my life is to recognize that not everybody's my people, mm-hmm. and yeah. that my energy doesn't line up with everybody. And when it's really hard and people don't understand me and I have to like prove myself to them, they're actually not my people. And I don't need to waste so much energy trying to prove that I should be in their world.
Like that takes a lot of awareness, I found, because I'm in the same place of like, well, I should get along with everyone, right? Mm-hmm. I was raised to believe that. And it's okay to say, I'm not going to put my energy there because it doesn't feed me and it doesn't feel aligned. And I'm going to sit and talk to Kareen for an hour and a half because that feels really good.
Exactly. And so like this whole idea, I haven't talked about this on the podcast very much, but I think it's like so important. I did a Tantra workshop a few years ago, right before COVID. Right before COVID hit, it gave me a lot of time to reflect on this concept. But I started talking to my voice students about it like right away, all the high schoolers. I was like, oh my God. Because the tantric instructor said to me and my partner at the time, she said, you are energetically rude. And I was like, what? Like, what do you mean? She goes, don't be offended by that. Someone said the same thing to me. And I was like, okay. She goes, let me explain. I was like, okay. So she's like, you have a big energy, both of you. And you like, you are such a connector and you love people and you send your energy right into people. Like you, and your energy is a very strong. And if someone's not ready for your energy, it feels very overwhelming. So it's very rude to put your energy on people without getting their consent. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God. And then we both looked at each other and we're like, our spouses, this makes so much sense why our spouses had so much trouble with us, our exes. Mm-hmm. Because I never asked for their consent. I just expected them to take my energy because that's what you do as a spouse, right? And I remember going, when I started asking for consent and making sure they were okay and in the right frame to accept my energy, it always went better. But I also realized, hold on, if I have to be asking someone for every interaction, if they can handle me, that doesn't feel aligned for me. And so one thing I recognize is that, okay, so you've got your energy vampires. So people are just going to be taking your energy without giving anything back. That drains you. Okay.
Right.
Then you've got people that you have to ask consent, which, yes, we should be doing that anyways. Hey, do you have space for me right now? Can we talk or whatever? But like explicit consent to just be yourself is really hard on a regular basis. Like, you know, so some people, you give your energy to them, they don't want it, they don't accept it. So it goes around them, doesn't fill their cup anymore. So they don't give any back to you. Mm-hmm. So you're still depleted like the energy vampire, even though they're not taking it from you, you're freely giving it to people who don't want it. It's wasted energy. And then you have your people who accept your energy lovingly and it fills them up and they give some right back to you. So you're both equal and you're reciprocating this energy and it's beautiful. And I was like, those are my people.
Yes.
And if I could give my 19-year-old self any advice, it would be that when you are with your people, you will feel calm and seen, accepted, heard without trying. It just is. And not everybody is your people, and you don't need to prove anything to anybody. And as a high schooler, that's the most difficult thing. You feel like you're not accepted. But when you recognize, hold on, they just must not be my people, you can just move on and go, it's not about me. It's just that's not a good fit.
Yeah, and that's really okay.
Yeah.
And having that be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And not, you know, I always wanted people to like me. Mm-hmm. And I would many times alter myself to be the kind of person that I thought they would like. Mm-hmm. And so I think that started when I was very young and I was the person that just took on people's energy. That started when I was probably around 12 years old when my parents were going through their divorce. And I took on a lot of my mom's sadness because it seemed like when I did that, my life would just be more peaceful. My home life would be peaceful. And so I really had to learn how to clean off my energy, how to allow someone to be in the space that they are without fixing it. Mm. And side note, I'm still working
in my 50s, because I just want everyone to feel happy and be good. And the truth is that just enables people to continue with their stuff. And so, you know, we all, I guess, go on our journey. But what is so nourishing is the conversation like we're having, where it is very much that, you know, give and take. It feels very balanced. It feels very open and accepting. And we really, I think, meet in that space of acceptance, where it doesn't feel like any one of us is taking too much or giving too much. We're just in balance.
Yeah. No, and that's beautiful. And it's just, it's so fulfilling. And like kind of what we want to talk about today is like this idea of conforming, right? Like this proves right here that it starts at childhood, that is the way to survive is to just conform. Like if you became like, you know, okay, I'm just going to take on my mom's energy and be the right person for her, then my life will feel calmer and everything. But if you would have been like, no, that's not mine to carry. I'm going to stand up for myself. There is a part of that journey that it's a rocky road, right? We have to be willing to not be liked. We have to be willing to not be accepted for some of our choices, which is really hard because we're taught that we don't mean as much if we're not accepted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. We talk about childhood because the way that my mom always talked about me when I was really young was that I was very certain about who I was. I knew what I wanted to wear. I knew what I wanted to do. And I was not afraid to say it. I was very much individual person. And I think that they really supported both my parents supported that in the way that they could. But the divorce, that 12 years old, that shifted everything. And now at 54, I'm able to look at that journey from 12 to 54 and say, well, I'm actually really glad I went through that because I came back in. I found myself again. I lost myself, or I went on just a long journey because I was a definite nonconformist up until probably I was in theater starting at 7, and I knew who I was until I realized, oh my God, my whole world just imploded. And now I don't know anything at all. I don't know who I am. I can't find any sense of groundedness. And that sent me on that journey of becoming a people pleaser, wanting everyone else to be happy who cares about me. And thank goodness I found my way back to me. But that people pleaser part is still, you know, it's still there.
Well, and I think like, when in doubt, people please and you'll be accepted. Like that is kind of like the way that we learn, like even as children, like if our parents are upset or whatever, we find the thing that pleases them and that we, you know, if we know how to say the right thing to appease them or whatever, then they're happy and they're content with us and we get the things that we want or we get the love that we think that we need in the way that we want. If we kind of give up a little bit of who we are, we're like, oh, that's not important right now. Safety is more important, or feeling connected is more important.
Right.
And it's so true that like safety and connection is everything, right? Like we can't survive without that. Otherwise we're in this literal survival mode and we're always trying to find ways to feel safe and connected. And not die, you know, like not be accepted into a group or a tribe back in evolutionary days, right? Like being part of a tribe was the only way you could stay alive because you couldn't survive on your own.
Right.
And protect yourself from wild animals and find your food and do all these things and raise a family. You couldn't do that on your own. You needed a tribe mentality. You needed a group to like all have different roles and work together, you know? That it takes a village is true. And we've become such an individualized society. And so I don't want people to confuse independence with knowing who you are. And I think that that's where the pendulum has swung in this like awareness culture, the coaching culture, whatever. I am so about being your authentic self. And I think a lot of people are afraid to make the changes because they're like, wait, like I abhorred the word self-care because I was like, that's so selfish. I'm going to lose the kindness that I am. I don't want to have to say no to people and reject them and say, I'm taking care of me. But that's what I thought that it looked like. So I remember after this whole like tantric learning about energy and my energy, I could rationalize the word energy care because I was like, okay, if my phone is no good after there's no energy left in the battery, then that makes sense. Like I have to protect the energy of my phone. So turn off extra apps or not let the flashlight run all day or whatever, like manage the energy and then plug it in at night so that it can be of service to me. And then I was like, okay, if I'm constantly giving my energy to other people who aren't accepting it, I'm wasting energy. If I'm letting people take my energy by being victims and I'm just pouring out my compassion on them and letting them suck my energy like energy vampires, I'm losing energy as well. And then I'm no good to my kids and my partner and my family and my friends. I have nothing left to be the good, authentic, loving person to them. I'm just frustrated and resentful and this and that. And I thought, well, is it actually selfish to have energy care? And then I was like, okay, if I turn all of this self-care shit into energy care, how does that sit? How does that work? And it started to really make a difference. And I was like, okay, this is to protect my energy. This is to give me energy. This is to manage my energy. This is in kindness. And I didn't have to feel like it was a selfish experience.
Yeah, well, I'll add one thing on to that because I believe so. Okay, so I have two kids and I'm an older mother. So I really feel like I spent a lot of my 20s and 30s doing a lot of healing work, learning who I was. Well, when I became a mother, I have very spirited children and I realized that I didn't know myself. I got to this place where I guess my kids were like 7 and 3. And I'm like, who am I? I just feel like I'm totally worn out. So I decided I've been into yoga since the 90s, before yoga was what it is today. And I've always loved it. But in those years, the early years of the kids, I never had time to do it. Mm-hmm. And so I made this realization one day that's like, well, okay, I need to get to know who I am. So I'm going to commit to doing 10 minutes of yoga every single day for 30 days and see what happens. And I actually am still doing it. I'm in my 8th year every single day. And this is what I have found is that self-care is really about connection to self. It is about taking time every day to check in and just say, what's going on with me? Because that's how you live an authentic life, is to know who you are, to be able to express who you are in the world, to your partner, partners, to your children, to your coworkers, to the world. That is how we live authentically. And to me, that self-care or self-connection are those moments because I'm ever evolving, right? We are ever evolving. Mm. We are never stagnant. Mm-hmm. And so if I have that time built in every single day as not a chore, but as a curiosity as to who am I in this moment? Mm-hmm. And I have this habit, right, that I've cultivated to know that for 10 minutes, I'm going to check in and see who I am. Then I can be more authentic in the world. I can be more of who I am. So that's how I look at self-care, is self-connection.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's so good. I was just thinking like my ideal clients, the people that tend to come to me are those who have been either married or parents, you know, married with kids or partnered, have kids for the majority of their adult life. now, and they're like, okay, like, who am I?
Yeah.
What comes next? Like, I've followed the rules my whole life, mm-hmm. and I'm struggling with like I'm resenting some things. I feel stuck. I keep doing the same patterns. I want out, but I don't want to be a shithead, and I don't want to just let everybody down. I don't want to leave my marriage necessarily, or I don't want to, you know, but how do I bring sort of excitement to my life? How do I figure out like what to do next? And I'm always like, it starts with you. And mm-hmm. what happens is like when we're so busy conforming, doing what everybody else says we should do, having our relationships the way other people think we should have them, following, you know, the pattern, I call it the mono mindset. It's like this one way of thinking where one way is monogamy is the only way. Right. And maybe monogamy isn't for you. Maybe you want to be monogamous and you are so committed and you love people deeply and you want nothing to do with having an affair or anything like that. Like, that's not what resonates with you at all. You're not a deviant, shall we say, but that model feels uncomfortable to you. Like, you're like, there's got to be more. I don't know if this fits for me. I have a quiz called Is Monogamy Right For Me? And it's kind of a little cheeky way of going like, is this model I've been following, is it actually right for me? And if it isn't right for you, you don't have to shift out of that, but you can be more conscious with your monogamy, right? Like, you can go,
definitely.
Oh, I'm going to build things into my monogamy that feel better than feeling trapped sometimes, right?
Right.
But maybe that doesn't work. Maybe the models of like, you know, living happily ever after, this is not panning out for you. Like, there's more to it than that. But you're like, well, I must be doing something wrong if I'm not living happily ever after. And the truth is, that's bullshit. And we're taught that this is the way it's going to be if you do things right, but it's not. Nobody's talking about it.
That's when conformity the fairy too, tale, right?
The when happily does the movie ever after? Yeah. When does it continue on to like the after the wedding? There's no model showing that, hold on, we have disagreements, or, oh, when you actually become vulnerable and comfortable with someone, things get stagnant and aren't as exciting anymore. And maybe you're going to get bored. Maybe you're going to get this. You don't have to be bored to just be comfortable. Esther Perel talks about like comfort and eroticism don't live in the same place.
Yes.
And so like, if you've got kids, you've been busy parenting and you're doing all the things, like, you're in a place kind of comfort with someone or with yourself or with your kids. And it's like, you're just sitting on the couch chilling. Well, that's not very erotic. That's not going to lead to like mad passionate sex. And you're like, something must be wrong with my relationship. Mm-hmm. No, it's just, that is designed to help you co-parent, to help you be there. She talks about like being able to see your partner from afar and observe them doing something that they're passionate about, that they get excited about. And then you're like, ooh, that's my person. I'm very attracted to that. And to have distance, you know, can create things. So tell me a little bit more about what you do and kind of what your mission is, because I know that this is where we're aligned here. And I just kind of brought this up, this like relationship diversity podcast. Mm-hmm. What's that about? I'm a relationship designer because I want you to be able to design the kinds of relationships that you want that fit you. But how do you know that if you don't know who you are?
Right. Which is very much that idea of designing relationship is very much a part of my message as well. With relationship diversity, what I got so inspired, I heard that term years and years ago. And I got so inspired by that term because relationship diversity to me is the vast, infinite ways that people can relate to each other in intimate relationships and, of course, other relationships, but I focus on intimate relationships. And a lot of what I do in that podcast is to bust open all of these boxes that we've been put in. Yes, the, you know, hetero mononormative scripts that we have just adopted without realizing that we have. And those scripting, that scripting is so like deep in these caverns of our being that even myself, after 4 years of being in a polyamorous relationship, I'm still coming across this programming that I have. So I like to really look at all different kinds of relationship structures. And I talk about them in terms of solo amory, which is what we know as being singled, but choosing it intentionally, monogamy, and more intentional monogamy, that sometimes people align with that, or in certain times of their lives, they align with that. But then all the shades and the colors and the spectrums of non-monogamy and all that that looks like. And then really even going beyond those boxes, because you can get boxed into any one of those. Yes. And you say, well, what parts of these structures feel really good and true to me? So for me, I would say solo amory, I need time on my own. I am an introvert. So when I give too much of myself, I have got to have time to retreat and process. And there are certain things that I just like about single life, you know, that I like and that I need. At the same time, I love being coupled. I love love. Mm-hmm. And so again, coming back to this living in authenticity is getting to know who I am in this chapter of my life, because I talk about it in, we all have chapters of our lives, and where one structure, one kind of relationship design feels right in one chapter of your life may feel totally, I'm like totally different at 54 than I was in my 20s or 30s. Yeah. So coming present with who I am. So relationship diversity is just this huge, beautiful, colorful spectrum of all the ways that relationships can look. And it is really always comes back to knowing who you are to know what you want.
Yeah. And I think that people are afraid to know who they are, because there's this idea that this is selfish, right? Like, but like, I'm writing a course right now. So I'm writing the script and for the videos, and it's the open relationship roadmap, the secrets to success. And so there's a bunch of stops along the way that are really important that you do before you open up your relationship, whether it be a swinger, just open, or polyamory, or whatever forms of that. And I talk about that being I actually have like a color fan, like a paint colors, and I have that opened up, and I have like swinger all the way to like polyamory on there, and that there's all different palettes, you know, that we can choose, and they can have a bit of both, and they can be within categories. You know, you can design whatever it is that works for you. Like, I'm a swinger and polyamorous, and they look different in different settings. Some like, I'm a swinger with my partner and we have so much fun in that. I can do that by myself as well. I can have friends with benefits, or I can have full-on loving relationships with other people. I just have really limited time. So it's not necessary. It is, I do choose a hierarchical model only because that's more clear what my availability is right now. It doesn't mean people are less important or whatever, but it just means I don't have the time. I have a business I'm trying to, you know, manage and everything. I don't have time for like a full on two relationships that are full time. I just don't. I just moved in with my partner. And that takes a lot of adjustment. And I just have to be realistic about those things. But that's the beauty of designing a relationship.
Right.
There's not one, you know, and a lot of polyamorous will have a box that say only non-hierarchical is right. And you can't do it this way. And I'm like, oh my God, can we all just fuck off with the boxes? Like, I'm trying to say, let's break free from conformity, because this is the issue we get into, is we box people in. And this is simply because we all want to belong. We all want a community that we can relate to. And so it's easiest to go, I'm shutting everybody else out, and this is the right way to do it. We're just following the same model, just putting it in a different place.
I am in such agreement with you on that, which is another reason why I feel very passionate about relationship diversity, because you're right. There is a lot in any of these structures that says this is the only way this should be done. Yeah. And again, knowing yourself and knowing what works for you now, hierarchical polyamory is what works for you. So why would anyone say that that's wrong? That's right. What works for you, and you know it. And as long as everyone is consensual and everyone understands what's going on and everyone is in agreement, and that doesn't mean that people won't get triggered. There won't be things that come up. There won't be renegotiations, restructures, all of that. But it's like, yes, we're all going to do it in our own way. Mm-hmm. And if we know ourselves and we're being true to ourselves and authentic, then what's wrong with that? And so I really want to challenge that idea that getting to know yourself and even self-care is selfish. Because like I use the example of when I was a young mother, right? And I had a lot of judgment about the kind of mother that I was because I was comparing myself to all of my friends who had easier births with I'm talking with my first one, which I had a 54-hour natural labor ending in C-section that was like life-threatening that needed to happen in that way. And then I wasn't able to breastfeed and my child was super, super spirited and, you know, wanted a bottle because that was just easier. And he wanted to just get on with playing and didn't want to like sit at my breast for 2 hours trying to get milk out. It's just like, he was just who he was. So anyway, for years, I really struggled and compared myself to others. And finally, one day, I remember this so clearly. I was like, okay, I've been thinking of myself in a lack mentality because I'm not all of that. But what if I just took a moment and said, but what am I? Where do I show up in as a mother that one, I'm really passionate about, that two, I really love, and that three, I'm good at? And I found that I loved connecting with my son and, you know, hanging out and just snuggling, or I loved walking at the park and watching him play. Now, the younger ages, that was not my strength. Like now my kids are, you know, growing up and this is like, I'm happy because I will talk to them about their visions and I will help them with their relationships and their crushes. And I have an open door policy talking about sex in the age appropriate way. And, you know, this is what I was made for. But anyway, in that moment where I decided like, oh, this is how I show up and this is what I love. I'm not the parent. I'm not the Pinterest parent who will do all of the like, you know, projects with you that actually makes me, it just does not feel right to me, but I wouldn't know this unless I knew myself.
Yeah.
And so as while it seemed like maybe that was selfish for me to take the time and get to know how I loved to show up with my kids, it actually served them. It served them because then I was able to have really awesome moments with them. I was able to be happier as a mother instead of a grieving mother who just felt not worthy and not good enough. And the same happens in relationships. If I know who I am, I know how I can show up. I know how I can feel really good when I show up. And I know what my triggers are. So I know how to, when I get triggered, to say, I need some time with this. So
we don't overpromise. We don't feel like we owe people things that we can't give because we're comparing ourselves to a standard that who created the standard? Like who did? Like it's so obscure.
That's
and it
conformity.
Changes all the time. Exactly. And people don't understand that conformity hurts us. Like you don't have to be a rebel to be broken free from conformity. But this need to conform, when it becomes greater than the need to go inward and figure out who the hell you are, creates safety and connection within yourself so that you can show up fully in the world in a beautiful way and actually ask for what you need without expectation, without attachment to the outcome. You can be like, this is what I need as a person. I'm not going to hold it against you if you can't provide that. You're one person. Maybe you can't provide that, but this is who I am. This is who I need. This is what I need in life. I'm either going to find it for myself, I'm going to provide it for myself, or I'm going to find people in my life that can help fill that need. But I'm not going to put it on you to make sure that you fulfill my need. I just need to know what it is that I need. So if I need cuddles to feel grounded and be there for myself and feel regulated in my body, if I'm with someone that never wants to cuddle, which was my experience in my marriage for 23 years, that was such a big ask. And I was dying inside. But I was resentful all the time that they didn't figure this out about me. And if I would ask, I was like so in trepidation of asking because it felt like I was asking for too much or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if once I figured out that that's what I needed and that there was nothing wrong with that, I could be like, okay, that's fine. If you don't want to provide that for me, I'm going to find friends that want to cuddle, or I might have other ways of doing that, you know, snuggling with the dog at night or whatever, snuggling with my kid, not spending as much time with you, going to spend more time with the kids. Cause I felt like I had to put all my energy into my ex-husband rather than my kids, because I had this programming that, you know, the marriage was the most important thing, which it didn't need to be, but I was forcing something that wasn't natural. And I was then resenting. Whereas if I would have just allowed myself to just be in the joy of hanging out with my kids because I enjoy that, instead of like, oh no, now I'm not spending time with him and we're going to fall apart or this or that. Like I was inauthentic to myself. And therefore my kids suffered because I wasn't choosing them over him, and he didn't even want me there. You know, like he was perfectly happy doing his own thing. And my kids would have loved to just hang out and play games with me. But I felt like I couldn't do that because then I was excluding him. It just gets all mixed up in our minds. And then we're overwhelmed and we're depleted and we don't know what's happening. But back to the like knowing that cuddles is important to me. Like now, that's a non-negotiable need in a relationship for me. Like I would rather just be alone than be with someone who doesn't need cuddles at all. They might be the best person, but I know for me in this stage of my life, like if I can't at the end of the day just like crawl into your arms in a nook and just like curl up in a little ball and be a little bit little, childlike, I don't want that. I don't need that in my life. Like it's not.
And do you know what I mean? That's saving you so much time and energy, and saving someone else from, if you were to date another person and that wasn't there, you already know that's something that's really important. It's a non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. And so to me, that serves everyone. And then also it models for your children and for your clients and for people around you. It models what it's like to live knowing who you are and how that really helps you feel more alive and your partnerships and your relationships feel more alive. Mm-hmm. So and these are the little, you know, little, seemingly little, but actually big programs that we take on unconsciously. Mm-hmm. And there's so many, when you start to question, you know, mononormativity and all the things that, you know, even like Disney movies, right? Or whatever, even the TV, you know, that you watch, even the laws, you know, at least in the States, like there's just so much that is the programming that monogamy is the only way. So if you go down the path of questioning it, you're questioning fundamental, foundational beliefs that you didn't even know you took on. So it takes a lot of courage. It takes guidance, which I'm sure is something that you give to your, you know, clients, is that guidance of, okay, it's normal to, you know, to question that. It's normal to feel like, oh my God, that this awakening of, wow, I've just believed that without ever seemingly made the choice to believe it.
Yeah.
And that's why community, specifically when exploring relationship diversity, is super important.
Yeah. And this is why I have my program, right? Like this Breaking Free from Conformity, it's 8 weeks of like really looking at this mononormative thinking, this mono mindset, and not saying it's wrong, but just being aware of what you've been taught and what you've actually been running your life on in the background. It's like a computer only runs the programs that they have. Like they can't run a program they don't have. So if you're trying to be open up your relationship, being non-monogamous, ethically non-monogamous, and you're just like, okay, I'm just going to change things, but your programming is still all this mono mindset, you don't have the right program in your computer in order to run that new program. So you're going to get so far on like excitement and new relationship energy, for instance.
Yeah.
And then you're going to hit a wall and you're going to go, oh shit. Like I wasn't prepared for this emotion, or I wasn't prepared for this. And see, we don't understand why that emotion comes up, what it means, because we have a meaning from the mono mindset of what that's mm-hmm. supposed to feel like. And we just adopt that supposed to feeling because that's the right feeling, but then we can't rectify it. We don't know what to do. So for 8 weeks, we go through all this programming. You think nothing's happening, but by the end of the 8 weeks, you're aware of that programming. You have gotten rid of that, of what's not serving you. You know what it is that you want and need without shame or guilt. You're able to honor yourself and ask for what you need without being afraid of it. You recognize why that's so important and how life-changing it is and transformative when you can use your voice without shame and guilt, and how it doesn't hurt other people. Then you can put a new programming in that serves you. So you can either create a consciously monogamous relationship, which is beautiful because you're not trapped anymore. You're like, I'm choosing this one person and I'm choosing to not have sex with other people or whatever. Like, this is something I'm beautifully choosing. Awesome. You're going to also put the things in place that are going to make that easier for you. You're not going to have the expectations that every other monogamous person has. You're just not going to have those expectations.
Right.
You're going to recognize that your monogamous partner can't meet all of your needs, and you're going to be okay with that. And you're going to be like, there's nothing wrong with that.
It's freeing, actually. Right? when you really get to the place of saying, oh, I've expected my spouse to be all of these things. Mm-hmm. And oh my God, the amount of pressure that we've put on each other.
Yeah.
And that there are other options. And right? I'm sure that's another thing that your program really helps with, is knowing. And that's my passion about relationship diversity, is the education piece.
Yeah. Of
there are other options. Because if people just know that there's just, okay, if monogamy isn't it, but we don't know what else there is, then it leaves this big void.
Yeah.
And it takes, I think, just a little bit of education to start to open your mind to know that there are other options, and that if you're willing to do your work, and this is why, so I'm an intuitive and I do energy clearing and healing. And this made me think about this. I don't talk about this kind of side of my work very much, but it reminds me a lot of what you were saying about a computer system and how the beliefs sit in our subconscious as a program. And the energy modality that I use is called Theta Healing. It was developed by a woman named Vianna Steibel, and it actually goes in to the energetics of the programming and deletes it and downloads new programming. Mm. And it's, you know, people think it's like really out there and wacky, but I will tell you that almost everyone that I work with, when they finish, they're like, wow, something really changed, although I can't really put my finger on it. And I don't really know what it is, but that's the energetics, right? We're also very programmed to only see things in the physical. And if we don't see it in the physical, it's not real. But I will tell you, people have changed their life from this modality, including
we have hypnotherapy in the program too.
Oh, so yes, exactly.
Similar. Right. So each session ends with a hypnotherapy session, which kind of locks in this learning. And so you're actually, some people are sleeping by the end of the 8 weeks. Like, I just finished a couples cohort, my first couples cohort. And I was like, okay, I wonder how this is going to go, because they wanted kind of more like relationship, like probably more like counseling or whatever. They just didn't know what to do. They wanted to be closer. They wanted to understand each other better, but like the only options are counseling. Like, what do you do? And they came across me online, and they reached out and they joined my program. They were skeptical, but they were like, okay, if you say this is what we need, okay, we'll we'll try it. We'll see what happens. So the 8 weeks just finished last week. And I said, you know, I said, so what has your experience been? Because you guys are sitting taller. Your energy's completely different with each other. You're smiling, you're holding hands. Like it's a completely different body language for both of you than when you started. And literally, I don't even think they did the homework. Like they literally just showed up for an hour and a half each week for each session. That's it. And the way that the program is set up is you're not doing stuff. You're just being aware. Mm-hmm. And the shifts are happening automatically kind of thing because you're letting them. And yeah. So the end of the week, she's like, you know, she says to me the other night, she's like, we were talking about this and it's like, I can't explain it, but it's like, I don't know what kind of voodoo magic you did, but like, we have never talked so much as we have in the past 6 weeks. It's just, we both feel so open. We both feel so like at ease and comfortable in our energies. And I was like, I can explain to you exactly what she goes. We didn't even talk about the issues that we were struggling with. Like they didn't even have their one-on-one yet. Do you know what yeah. I mean? Like, and it's just like, they have the tools now to figure stuff out themselves because mm-hmm. they are different. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh my God, that makes sense.
I'm so excited that you bring hypnotherapy into it because there is an element of this work, I think, that works really well and quicker when you bypass the conscious mind.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right? And you go into what's really unspeakable. Mm-hmm. And so I can just feel the energy of that program, the program that you do and the shifts and adding that component to it just must really catapult people.
Yeah. And I do this program with my partner, Charlotte Harris, and she's in the UK and she has a program that this is modeled after. She does the hypnotherapy part of it. But her nice. Program is Freedom from Sugar Addiction, and it works uh-huh. over and over and over again. Like by 8 weeks, people are just, they don't even need sugar and they're choosing that. They're not like feeling they have to give up sugar.
Oh, that's right? So
like,
cool.
Like you never have to not stuff. Eat sugar. They're just by the yeah. end, they're like, I don't even want it. You know, yeah. and it's just such an incredible process. And so she took me through that and she was like, I was like, this is so like similar to the things that I teach, but like about not the mono mindset. So like, it's not sugar. We're addicted to the mono mindset. Like we have this gotcha. Addiction to following the mold and being in the box and so afraid to step out of that box because maybe we'll be rejected. Maybe we won't fit in. Maybe we won't be enough.
Oh, yeah. All of that, all of that, the shaming
yeah.
of, you know, the things that I'm experiencing and coming to understand now 4 years into this chapter of, you know, non-monogamy, because I had a chapter before this marriage. It's like, I sometimes I just like stop and go, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. I have this belief and I've believed this for so long. And I could just, you know, am amazed at, I don't want anyone to know that I'm thinking this. Mm-hmm. I'm so scared because this is everything that we've learned marriages shouldn't be.
Yeah.
You know, and it takes like a lot of doing your own work.
Yeah.
But that's also the beauty of it because yeah. then you become empowered yeah. to make your own choices and we're to not follow. Yeah.
We yes. don't have a model for non-monogamy. Like we don't, the only model we have seen over and over again is monogamy and mm-hmm. not even good models. Like rarely mm-hmm. do we have a good model of monogamy, yet we keep doing the same thing, thinking it's going to work for us. And yeah. there's nothing wrong with monogamy. There's just something wrong with our idea of what monogamy should be.
Yes.
That's yes. the problem. I say all the time, I said, everything we know about marriage and relationships can destroy happily ever after.
Yeah. Yeah. Or really reprogram what that even means. Because for me, happily ever after is continually growing, evolving. Yes. Deprogramming, reprogramming, that yeah. would be happily ever after to me.
Yes, learning more, me too.
And I do want to say that I think that there is an opening for moving from the mono mindset, as you say, mm-hmm. into a more open mindset. I really see there's a shift, and I've connected with a lot of people who are very passionate about this exploration. Mm-hmm. Like in my podcast, I do a lot of guest interviews, and I'm excited about the future. I'm excited mm-hmm. about what is happening. And I think as more people learn about it, you know, I think polyamory and open relationships, they're having a moment right now. And they have, as I talk to people who have been in this world for 20, 30 years, mm-hmm. they have said it's had a moment and then it went away and then it had another moment. And this moment feels like there's more fire. There's more fire. There's a lot of people who are going into it without the education piece.
Yes. And they think it's going to solve something.
Yes.
They come into it with a mono mindset.
Right. Right. And it's not for the faint at heart. No. It's for people who are like going to go there. Right. Yeah. But I'm going to be an optimist in this area. And I'm going to say that I think that we're almost to a tipping point. I really do feel not that that means even 80, you know, even 30, 40% of people will choose non-monogamy. I'm not even saying that, but I'm just saying that I think we're at a tipping point in terms of openness and acceptance, maybe not everywhere, but in more places than 5 years ago, in more places than 3 years ago. So I'm going to remain an optimist and hope that this is, you know, that it's becoming more well known and people are just learning about that there are diverse ways to relate to other people.
I have two things to say about that. Number one, that we don't have, this is the beauty of like designing a relationship, is that it doesn't matter what the consensus of everyone else is. It doesn't matter mm-hmm. because I'm choosing people that fit my design and my energy and work with my version of what I want for a relationship. So there's so many polyamory people that I won't touch with a 10-foot pole. I do not want that energy in my life. I do not want you to judge my way of doing polyamory because you're not going to agree. And you know what? If you want to go and act entitled and think that the world revolves around you, you're not my people. I don't care if you're polyamorous, but that's not my version of polyamory. I'm not just in a box of like, I'm going to stand on this soapbox. And no, I'm here to create authenticity in people so that you can show up as you still, so that you can be an authentic person and show up to the table with knowing what it is that you want and creating the relationship that you desire. You don't just have to go and pick out, oh, I'm polyamorous now, so I got to go pick out the other polyamorous people. And so there's going to be all this kind of drama and things like that. Yeah, that is happening in that world, but that doesn't have to define what we're creating. And I think, too, there's been this big shift to being open to polyamory and swinging and all that kind of stuff. And people are doing it thinking that this is the more woke way, but they're not woke. Like they haven't done the work of like recognizing that this requires different skills. It requires a different way of looking at relationships. And I think mm-hmm. a third thing that I would add to that as you were talking is like being educated about ethical non-monogamy and how that works and accepting and being open to different ways of seeing things will make you an actually healthier monogamous partner.
Mm, yeah.
So it will just increase your monogamy satisfaction if that's what you choose. So it's worth going through the process of unprogramming and shifting your mindset and being more sex positive. I always say sex positivity set me free. And in my mm-hmm. podcast, my little thing is like, when it comes to sex positivity, authenticity is the key.
Yeah.
And you can jump on the sex positive bandwagon and then you can just judge everyone that's not sex positive. You could do it that way. Or you could be like, oh my gosh, I don't have to have shame about my desires and my fantasies anymore. There's nothing wrong with me for those things. I'm not going to be able to do everything necessarily, but there's nothing wrong with me wanting these things and wanting pleasure in my body in these certain ways. And now I can bring that peace and calm that I'm experiencing in my own body, the safety I'm creating in my own body, I can bring that to a relationship. And now I can have open conversations about my sexuality, their sexuality, and all of that without judgment. That's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. It's such a new way of looking at relationships. Mm-hmm. It really is. And I think that there's so much freedom in that. And I feel like once we get to the place, because, you know, I have a lot of privilege. I'm self-employed. I, you know, am white, mm-hmm. cisgendered. I mean, there's a lot of privilege that I have, which is why I feel like it is, I have to talk out about this mm-hmm. when people feel safe enough that don't have that privilege, when they feel safe enough to say, yes, I am going to live authentically mm-hmm. and be able to be out. Mm-hmm. That would be amazing. I would love that. Mm-hmm. I would love that.
And as privileged as I am, I don't have the ability to be open with my family. They're still very religious, right? Like, so I understand a bit of that, like, I am so not accepted by a whole section of my upbringing. Like, my whole community that I grew up with is no longer my community. There's few people that have come with me, you know, that are like, oh my God, I want the freedom that you have because you do it in a beautiful way, not because I just want to rebel from the system. I don't want just the ones who just want to rebel. That's not who I'm, they're not for me. You can go to someone else, but if you want to be who you are and be authentic to your life and be kind still and loving and true to yourself, not be a shithead and still be full of freedom and joy and enjoy pleasure in your life and be open to novel kinds of relationships that don't fit the mold, then you're my people and I'll help
you. Yeah, totally. It's sad to me, you know, it's sad to me that there's a whole part of your world in your life that you can't be open to. I also understand it. Like I get it. And it saddens me. I hope that we move to a place. I don't know how that happens. And I don't have the answers as to how it happens. And maybe it is about really finding your people. Maybe that is.
I think it's also about like being comfortable with your boundaries in terms of like, I'm not going to like go and share it with my parents. If they find out, they find out. If they choose to judge me for it, that's up to them. It's not about me. I'm still like content with who I am. And I know that this is the freedom that I enjoy and I'm a better person as a result. Yeah. And I can't explain that to them. They don't have to understand. But it doesn't have to make me shrink away and judge them back for that. They're operating out of their programming. They really are scared for me and my eternal security. Like I was there. They do not understand what has happened to me. And they don't know all the ins and outs, although I think my mom's listened to my podcast. Because my aunt and uncle know what I'm doing. And they wrote me this email out how beautiful what the work I'm doing is and how important it is. And I was like, what?
But wow.
In that process, they like asked my aunt if she knew, and she is one of the like born again Christian ones. And then she reached out to my mom and asked, and I was like, I don't think my parents know what a podcast is. So I thought I was pretty safe, but like my sister keeps me like updated. Cause my sister, anyways, she's still like, they'll tell her things when they're worried about me, but her and I talk about all kinds of things. So it's great. But it's been quite a journey, but like, we're at the point where my parents and I don't let it be a divide. And I'm like, listen, we don't have to talk about faith. We don't have to talk about religion. There's enough things that we have in common that we don't have to worry about that. So if you want to engage in those things, then we can keep talking. But if you're going to keep praying for me, if you're going to keep pushing it down my throat, then I'm not going to talk with you. That's it. And that's okay. I'm not being mean. I'm just respecting my own boundary and my own energy. And that's it. I don't hate you. It's just like, if you can't have these conversations without trying to tell me how much of a sinner I am, then I'm not going to engage. And that's you. You're going to miss me. That's up to you.
Because that to me shows like that to me shows your inner strength and the work that you've done to be confident in who you are. Because what I love is that you're not meeting them in conflict. No. You're meeting them in confidence and security of who you are. And you're saying, if you want to show up in my life, here is a way to do it. And I'm also not going to say what you're doing is wrong. I'm saying, you know, that they're just like, and what I loved what you said about not contributing to the divide, not being in the division, but in the, how can we come together? If we're going to be in this world together, how can we come together that respects your boundaries and respects mine?
We're not going to agree, and that's fine. Like, I don't expect you to agree with me. You're not going to go on this journey. It's not what you want to do. And that's totally fine.
But think about what the world would be like if we came together like that. If we could be as confident and secure within ourselves to say, I'm so confident with who I am that I don't need to talk you into being anything other than who you are.
And I will have know that I was not like that. Like, you know, 10 years ago, I was a puddle on the floor of like complete insecurity, not knowing what to do. Even 5 years ago, I was like, my worth comes from my husband and him loving me. And when he doesn't show me he loves me, I'm worth nothing. I didn't really think that that's what I believed, but I did. Like, that was actually running the show, even though cognizantly I'm like, no, I'm confident in who I am. I love who I am. But when it came to push or shove, like, I get triggered and I would go right to that programming that said that you're only worthy if your husband loves you. You're only worthy if he can read your mind and to give you the things that you want. And if he doesn't want to, then he doesn't care. And I work with my clients so much on shifting this. Like, just because that something doesn't work for us or people aren't our people doesn't mean we have to blame them or accuse them of being bad people. Like, my ex-husband and I were not the best of friends, but we're not enemies. Like, we can be civil. We can be in the same party. We can be in the same room. And I just am me. I'm doing my thing. It's fine. He doesn't have an effect on me. We consciously uncoupled and we recognized that we didn't bring the best out of each other. And that's okay. It didn't mean I had to hate him because of it. And we have this part of the mono mindset is like, if you divorce or if you separate, you have to hate that person. And I'm like, why? Why do we have to put blame on someone else when something didn't work out? Like, why do we have to say that they, you know, not everybody is a narcissist just because you didn't feel good.
Right.
I'm not saying there aren't. There really are.
Right.
But you, just because someone has narcissistic tendencies, we don't have to like say that they are trying to make our lives so bad and we're victims. Like, I don't want to be a victim. That's not, that doesn't serve me to be thinking you're against me. All that negative energy. Like, why would I put energy into that?
Well, that is really powerful. And my hope for the world is that we can all adopt that because that's very true. Like, even though I don't agree with you, doesn't mean that you're wrong.
No.
And doesn't mean, and I think just a lot of what's going on in the culture is if you don't agree with me, you're wrong. And I've got to lash out and create.
Or cancel you.
Yeah. Or can't. Totally. Totally. And we're not going to get to a more peaceful place, which I think really everyone wants to feel safe and loved, right? That's like the basic need is I just want to feel safe and loved. And how do we get there? We get there by starting to know ourselves, get confident with who we are, and then allowing people to just be who they are, creating boundaries, right? And yeah, that would change the world, I think.
The only way I can have safety with myself is when I have no shame about what I want and desire.
Yeah.
And yes. I'm just going to leave it with that, because I think that's what it comes to. I don't have shame anymore about my lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I don't have shame about my choices. I don't mm-hmm. have shame about my friendship choices, my relationship choices, how I parent. Because of that, I can show up strong and not apologizing, not needing to defend my choices, because I don't feel they need defending. So right. I show well, up in a completely interesting. Different energy.
So do you think, so people who feel shameful about whatever part of themselves project that onto
100%.
The other side, right? So you're right. So clearing that shame and being just loving and accepting of my choices because I know it works for me, that's the shift, right?
100%. And that's what I work with my clients so much, is like, you don't realize that you're the one creating non-safety with yourself. You're blaming everyone else for you not feeling safe. I can't share my truth. They judge me or whatever. Maybe they're judging you. Actually, maybe they're not. Maybe you just assume by their like discomfort that they're judging you. Maybe it's something they've never heard before. Maybe that's not for them. They might not be judging you, but if you're judging yourself, you are going to perceive everything and be afraid that everyone's going to judge you because you're still judging yourself.
Yeah.
But if you're not judging yourself anymore, is it going to matter if someone else is? You're going to be like, well, I don't feel safe sharing that with you, but you know, I don't have shame about it. So it's still my truth, whether you like it or not. That's where I'm at now.
So much truth.
So comes down to shame. I think shame is like the number one determiner of safety. And so safety is one of the huge things I talk about. You know, how do we create safety? And it's not all the tools and the this and how you show up with someone. It's how you show up with yourself. Like, do you have shame about masturbating? You're not going to be able to have that conversation with your partner if you have still think that there's shame in that. But if you have no shame about it, you're going to be like, hey, how do you feel about mutual masturbation? You know, you're not going to have trouble having that conversation, and you're going to feel like a safer space for them. If they have shame, for instance, you're going to be like, let's just be curious. Let's not we don't have to assign meaning to everything. And that's what we tend to do. This has to have meaning, and this has to be this. And if you don't agree, it means you hate me. No, it doesn't actually. Just means I disagree. It just means it's not part of my thinking. Maybe I need more education. Maybe it'll never be for me, but let's discuss it. Let's be curious. Why is that good for you? Why do you feel comfortable with it? And I don't. Oh, that's because my background said that. Da, 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 da. So actually I'm not comfortable with that, but it's not anything to do with you.
Yeah,
I can get there. Like, I just think we just assign so much. We just are so busy pointing the finger at others or feeling worried about what other people think and then making it mean something to us. When if we just like worry about us.
Well, I think that we've been taught and programmed that it's safer to point the finger outward and to look out than to look within, that it's scary to look within, that what are we going to find if we really look within?
It's hard to own your shit.
Yeah, that's fucking terrifying.
Maybe I was wrong.
Especially, like if you've never done that kind of work before, that can be terrifying.
Yeah.
Which is why you should go to more work shame. With Corrine.
It can lead to more shame, right?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, if it's not someone else's fault, now it's my fault. So now I feel even worse. But once you recognize that, then you can really start to do the work that goes, oh, wait, I don't need to have shame about that. You know, I'm just comparing myself. Actually, that's not what that actually means. Right. But now I can rectify that. It's not as hard as it seems. You know, we think that it's like years and years of work and a hard thing and crying all this. It might, for some people, certain things might take that. But like, when you stop blaming, when you stop assigning meaning to everybody outside, and when you start taking responsibility and owning your own power,
yeah,
and your own responsibility, life shifts for you. It opens up in so many different ways, and you start to attract the people that are your people because your energy
definitely
is different. Like, I have a friend that, like, she blames the world for things, and I'm like, you're a lovely person, but I do not want to be in your energy, and you're wondering why nobody wants to be around you. Nobody has the guts to tell you, like, you're suffocating me with your, like, you know, everybody's to blame and men are shit and this and that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't think I would want to be here.
This is why I think that when someone is starting this journey of going inward, I think working with someone is so imperative. And I know that there are some, you know, cost issues with that, but there's a lot of also free stuff or lower, you know, group programs. But I think it's really important, because when we go inward, it's like our, you know, monkey mind, our just, you know, nonstop inner critic will just go crazy, especially when you're trying to change paradigm within yourself and you're shifting things. It's just, we, no matter how bad it is, we will gravitate towards the comfortable and away from the discomfort. Mm-hmm. And so just having a smart, trusted guide to help you pull away from those really, you know, those moments where it's like, oh my God, my inner, you know, critic is just on fire and is, you know, digging this hole deeper than it needs to be. So, you know, that's why I'm sure your group program is super helpful for people.
Yeah. And I think we also need to think, like, what's the cost? There's a cost if we don't do it, if we don't do the work.
For sure. Yeah.
Right? Like, it might cost a lot to work with someone, but what's the cost if you don't? You might
absolutely
go the completely wrong way. You might ruin a relationship that you adore and you don't want to lose, because you might be doing things the wrong way and coming in with the wrong perspective. And it'll feel great for a while because of new relationship energy, and the hormones are like, yes, this is awesome. Lots of dopamine. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you'll hit a wall and go, oh, and then you'll encounter all the drama possibly. Right. Like, so there's a lot of potential costs if you don't set yourself up properly. And that's what I want. I don't want to bring people into this world unless they have the right foundation, because I don't think we need more drama in this world. We just really don't.
We really don't.
There's enough quote unquote woke people that are completely asleep and unaware.
God, totally. Well, having been in my, I had what I called my spiritual awakening in 1993, it was just the awareness of, oh, wow, maybe there's more to this world than just the physical. It happened in 1993. And, you know, here we are. Okay. Now it's like 30 years later, I'm still in it. You know, I just feel like as long as I'm here, I'm going to be growing and learning and evolving. I don't know. The woke culture, that's like, I feel like that's a generation behind me or something. I don't really get it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And the thing is, it's like they're hiding behind that word and judging everybody else who doesn't fit their own views. And that's like, is that woke? No, it's not. Yeah,
there's a growth and an evolution. I was, one of my teachers, my spiritual teachers in like the 90s, had me read a book called Halfway Up the Mountain, and it colored everything. It's about this false idea of enlightenment and, you know, these quote unquote gurus that come in and, you know, express that they know everything and you should follow everything I say. Now, you know, I have a lot of things that I talk to people about, but at the same time, I'm really real. Like, I'm always growing and evolving and learning, and I'm going to go into the shadows and do my work. Mm-hmm. Because that's just the commitment that I've made in my life. And I have seen now, after 30 years, the benefits that have come. Exactly what you said. Mm-hmm. You know, who would I be without all of that deep internal work? I would be married with I don't know what, I don't know. I don't even want to suppose where I'd be because I don't know. But right now where I'm at is more authentic living. And I think that's where, you know, what we're talking about.
Yeah. And it's beautiful and it's freeing and it's not always perfect. And there's still emotions and stuff, but it's like, I know what to do and I know where to go next and I know who my people are. And
yeah,
it's just, it's an incredible life that I have. And I would never want to go back to the other life that I had, even though I thought I was dying when that fell apart. Like, I just was like, how can I not live in this world? How can I not be a Christian? And how, like, I don't understand how I'll ever be okay.
And that happens. And yeah, knowing that that's just probably a part of it.
Yeah,
I think like I like to know like, oh, OK, this is going to be like a total re-identification.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to. OK, so when it happens and I'm on the floor crying,
yeah,
that's just a part of it.
Yep. It's going to be
it's okay.
OK.
And tomorrow the sun will come out or in a
part
week.
Of being authentic. Right. It's like,
yeah,
I'm still human. Like,
yes,
I don't know everything and I'm not going to get everything perfect. Like, if you think that that's what authenticity is, then that's not authentic. Like,
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
still me. And that's the beauty of this work is that I still get to be me and all the parts of me that I didn't want to lose, you know, my quote unquote self-care selfishness didn't have to be a rejection of everybody else. Like I thought it had to be, it does not. It's actually a bigger embracing of the right people.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And that right people's also myself.
Right.
If I don't embrace myself, like I'm always going to be drawing the wrong people because I'm only going to allow myself to be loved to the extent that I love myself. And if I'm only half loving myself, all the other people in my life are only going to be half loving me too, you know, like,
yes.
And that's, yeah. you know, do we want that consequence? I don't know. What's that worth to you? Right. Like, the right. cost can be high. We don't realize that the cost shows up in many, many different ways. And a lot of it can be the cost is your mental health.
Yeah.
Like you can go into deep depression, not understanding why things are going or not knowing who you are and resisting breaking free from this conformity can send you into like midlife crisis and all the things that can dramatically change your life. And you don't realize that. And it's actually in 8 weeks, you could literally be transformed and ready to just like own your life in such a powerful way. Like,
yeah.
you know, that's has no price, like priceless, right?
I agree. I agree.
Like there's nothing like it. And if you can't see that, then you're not ready. But like, I think that we don't understand the cost of just staying in this pattern over and over again.
Staying in
the
fear.
It's not going to change. Yeah, it's a fear-based thing. Anyways, you have to go because you have a hot date today. So before we go, is there anything, like if people want to get to know you a little bit more, if they want to follow you, like how do they do that? I will put all these links in the show notes for people.
Thank you. Well, I would love for people to listen to the podcast. That's free. Everything that I put out right now is free. That's just where I'm at. That's what I'm wanting to do. So you can connect with the podcast, relationshipdiversitypodcast.com. You can also get to that same place by my first and last name, carriejarislow.com. I also have a YouTube channel and I put up free stuff, free content. I love that platform because I can actually interact with people more and I can find out what people are wanting to know about, wanting to learn about and create content specifically for that. And you can also follow me on my Instagram page as well. So those are the best ways to connect with me, but I'd love for people to go listen to the podcast and let me know what you think.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for being here, Carrie. It was lovely to get to know you.
Yes.
I feel like I've known you for so long, but I just met you today. I'm sure we're going to be in each other's circles for forever, I think. But
I hope so.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Yay. So yeah, we'll talk soon because I'm going to be a part of your podcast or the thing that you're working on, which is really cool. So I will let you guys know what that is and when that comes out. But yeah, I'm going to be in Carrie's world soon. And Yeah. So some like little collaboration happening here, which is so beautiful. So
I love it.
Again, the energy brought the right people to me.
Yes.
You know, so
it does. It does. When you know yourself, then you can attract the people who you resonate with.
And I wouldn't have believed it till I see it now. I'm just like, everybody that comes in my world is like the ones that feel good and resonate with. I'm like, yep, they're my people. They're my people. And it's like amazing.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And and there's people that I still love that aren't my people. I just don't put that much energy into them. I don't hate them or like discard them. So anyways, thank you for being here.
Yeah.
As I always say, when it comes to sex positivity, authenticity is the key. I love you all. I will see you soon. Yeah. Love you, Carrie. Thank you.
Thank you, Kareen. Love you too.
Bye. Was I right? Didn't I promise you an amazing conversation? She was incredible. What an amazing guest she was. It was just such a free-flowing, easy conversation. So much fun. We could have gone on and on for hours, but she had a date to get to. I had a course to teach. I had to actually go teach my Breaking Free from Conformity cohort. It was so beautiful to talk with someone who really has the same mission as me. And we desire everyone to be creating and designing the diverse kind of relationship that works for you. Monogamy is not for everyone. If monogamy is for you, I love that for you. But I want you to design it consciously and design your monogamy around who you are, not around what society says it should be. Your monogamy won't look like everybody else's monogamy. And that's okay. It's dangerous to just follow the model that you're told. You know, your monogamy doesn't have to look like what society says your monogamy should look like. It's individual. It should meet your needs as a person. And every person is different, and every partnership has two different people, and it doesn't even make sense to model your relationship the same as everybody else. So let's get conscious about our relationships and really model them. Everybody is diverse. Every relationship should be diverse, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we haven't been taught that. We've been taught to conform. We've been taught to give our energy away. We've been taught to people please and do things for everybody else's safety and everybody else's well-being and comfort. And we get to the point where we don't even know who we are anymore. So what is the cost to conforming? It's a pretty steep one sometimes. You know, it really costs us our mental health, our well-being. Often it costs us our relationships. The very thing we are trying to succeed at, we actually destroy by following the expectations and the model that society has laid out for us in many cases. We are not cookie cutter. Neither are our relationships. So let's not just conform because that's what we're told we should do. Think about what you want to do and how to ethically do that. And that's what I'm here to do. I'm here to help you and guide you and make sure that you're consciously designing exactly what you want out of a deep knowledge of who you are. I love you so much. I hope this conversation was so impactful to you and encouraging. Have an amazing day. I love you, and I will see you next time. Mwah!
Thanks for listening. Be sure to follow me on Instagram at Kareen Bedard Coaching. And you can visit my website at kareenbedard.com. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to give it a like and share it with your friends. I'd be so grateful if you could help by giving us a 5-star review on Podchaser or iTunes. Don't forget to subscribe to our mailing list to be kept up to date about upcoming episodes and exciting news. Just visit our website at breakingfreeauthentically.com and scroll down to subscribe. You can also email me anytime. I'd love to hear from you. Send your messages and questions to Corinne@KorinneBedard.com. Are you a part of my Facebook community yet? Join us in Breaking Free Authentically. It's where you will find this sex-positive relationship community. I'd be thrilled to have you be a part of this community with me. All the links will be in the show notes, so don't forget to check it out. Remember, when it comes to sex positivity, authenticity is the key. Have a great week.